Our guest this week is Caroline Gilman of Atlantic Blue Canvas, and the show is sponsored by Avlia Folk Embroidery and the FiberTalk Needle Arts Retreat. Avlia designer Krista West continues to deliver a parade of new designs, including the Santorini Floral Kit, Ephemia Design, Talene's Tulips Design, and the Somerset Meander and Thessalonian Stars creations, which make great cushions. The star attraction, though, continues to be Krista's new book, Everyday Folk, which contains 175 designs inspired by traditional textiles. It's a book that should be in every stitcher's library. Visit avliafolkembroidery.com to see the entire catalog of designs, which are available as PDF downloads, printed charts, and kits. There's also an extensive how-to section and an excellent collection of kits for beginners. This week's show is also sponsored by the inaugural FiberTalk Needle Arts Retreat, March 21 to 23 in St. Louis. The three-day event includes many hours of stitching time for needleworkers of all techniques, 8 classes, which are included in the event fee, a help table, a Jennifer table where you can try slow stitching and tamari, and a Sassy Jack Stitchery pop-up shop. The event fee is $300 for the weekend or $225 for Saturday only. All of the details are available at wetalkfiber.com/weekend. Thanks to Avlia Folk Embroidery for sponsoring our show, and now our conversation with Caroline Gilman of Atlantic Blue Canvas. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
You're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for the needlework artists. Our artist this week from Atlantic Blue Canvas, Caroline Gilman. Caroline, welcome.
Hi, happy to be here.
Oh boy, so we get to talk about painted canvas today. Now, you have a unique business because usually it's someone who designs and paints canvas, or someone who represents designers of painted canvas, but you do both. And then mixed in there is the military wife and a full-time job as a CPA. And then 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the night is when you actually sleep. Is that right?
Just about. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I actually do get a solid 8 hours most nights. So it's, I have to have sleep. My husband, he's military. He can operate on no sleep. I get grouchy.
Yeah. Now he's retired. He's out of the service.
Yes. He got out a couple years ago, went back to school. So we found ourselves in North Carolina for a minute, and now we're in Atlanta with a corporate job. So,
oh. Yep. Wow. Good for him.
We bounced around all over the country, and so it was fun time.
So you had that standard situation that we hear about so often, where you got moved around, and day to day, month to month, you really didn't know what was upcoming.
You knew every about 2-3 years you were guaranteed a move. Yeah, and we were always stateside for the most part, so we never had to move overseas. But no, he deployed twice. So he did overseas deployments, but family doesn't go. So he just goes for 9 months and then come back. So I stay. But yeah, no, every 2.5 years, except COVID, made it a little bit longer because we couldn't move. We moved to a different state. We've been married 7 years and I think have had 6 different houses together.
Yeah. Jeez.
My dad was military, but we didn't have to move that much because of what he did. But I remember when I was a sophomore in high school, and he said, oh, we're not moving, you're staying here. And then he got moved my last 2 years in high school. So yeah, you know,
you just, the worst time to move is,
yeah.
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 But you do it, you survive, you know. It's just one of those things. And it's actually kind of fun because you get to see different parts of the country, things that, you know.
Different places I never would have lived on purpose, for sure. So I'm a South Florida girl, never really had to live in snow. And then you put me in upstate New York, upstate New York. We were north of Syracuse, 20 minutes from the Canadian border, which is where I started Atlantic Blue. We could jump into that too as a connection. But there was nothing up there. There was nothing to do but needlepoint. So that was a place I, yeah, would never have lived unless it was for the military,
So that's
for
what
sure.
got it going then, is needlepoint is idle hours, no husband at home, and
Pretty much. So I started needlepointing. I was probably in middle school. My grandmother introduced me to cross stitch, gave me some stuff. I hated the chart, hated having to look. I just, that was, no, not, I was not going to do that. And then my mom's girlfriend taught, showed me a painted canvas. So your needlepoint. And my local shop is Stitches by the Sea in Delray. Went in there, got a little 4x4 something. I actually found it the other day. It was pretty bad, but not too bad. But I did that. I did the belt for my boyfriend in college. I remember stitching in high school, and I remember not being, not embarrassed is the right word, but it's not something I did like out in the open like I do now. Like I never would have done it like on an airplane or at a football game or you know what? I no. But started that, and then college, I remember sitting with graph paper. I had graph paper for one of my like accounting classes, and I remember like gritting something out really rough. Because in Florida, we have lobsters. Our lobsters don't have claws, and all the lobsters represented in the needlepoint community have their Maine lobsters.
Right.
So I remember like taking like a lobster, but like taking the claws away and putting the spines on. So that was my first taste of designing. Anyway, so fast forward a few years. I'm in upstate New York. My husband's deployed. There's 5 feet of snow on the ground. No needlepoint shop to be no, nothing, nothing. And it's 2020, so even getting stuff online is a challenge. And so that's kind of how I started doing it. And then a military spouse friend of mine sold engraved like glassware on Etsy. And she was like, why don't you just put these on Etsy? Like, someone will buy, everyone buys stuff on Etsy. And I was like, no way. And so I did a few designs, some tennis balls, I think a crab claw, made my mom buy one, made my sister buy one. And then, sure enough, strangers started buying them. And yeah, the kind of rest is history. I remember like my first wholesale order, they ordered like, because I was painting to order, right? And so
Uh-oh.
I get a, yeah, I'd get an order, I'd paint. So I'd be at my computer all day doing my day job and then hunch over and paint canvases. I was like, this is not sustainable. So, but yeah, and I mean, yeah, I remember my first wholesale order. She ordered 25 units, the Boca Grande store. And I was like, oh my, it was just, I still remember it to this day. I was like, oh my God, this is so incredible.
And
So
then you
yeah.
got to paint them, and you got to paint them in a hurry. Oh, boy.
Yeah, she gave me some time because she was seasonal. So she wasn't opening the shop for a minute. So she's like, you have like a month to do these. And I was just like, oh my gosh. So that's kind of what triggered me to start getting a painting service and investing in inventory. So.
You really need to ship those when they place the order, be able to,
Oh yeah. And I didn't want to sell anything I didn't have. Because as a consumer, I hate pre-orders and I hate waiting. And so I wanted to make sure I could kind of get a stock of things before I had to paint.
Okay, I want to know the first canvas you painted. How bad was it?
It was bad.
Okay.
Yeah, no, everything, all the holes were filled. Nothing was even right on the edge. I probably had the mesh the wrong upside down. Yeah, and no one teaches you how to do it, right? Like you can ask around, but there's not really, there are now, but there weren't videos on how to paint canvas then.
You just it's something, because I kind of painted a few things, but mainly just an overall color, not stitch to paint, you know, paint to stitch. You know, I don't do that because that's a whole nother ball game.
And
We tip our cap to Beth because she painted a canvas background after she'd stitched on it. So, yeah,
it had to change. The color had
exactly.
to change, so I had to paint it.
That's
Oh, because
exactly the reaction, Caroline. Yeah, right there.
your
Yeah, I
fiber
go, what?
wasn't covering it.
Right. You do what you got to do, right?
I was gonna say, did it turn out okay?
Yeah, it did.
See, no harm, no foul. Yep.
That's right. That's
Yep.
right.
Yeah, that one honorable mention at the ANG National Convention. So, yep, it
Oh,
turned
that's
out.
great. That's great.
But
I thought it
yes,
was okay.
that's the reaction. I'm painting on it after I stitched on it. You're what? You nuts? Yeah.
But you got to do it. And but I think it's, for people who think that, oh, the stitch painted ones that you buy, that you make, they're hard to do. I've never even attempted something like that because it has to be very precise. And if the paint gets in those holes, there's ways to clean it, but I know, but still,
Yep.
it's a lot of
I think
work.
when I explain it to a new person, they don't realize it's like dot by dot by dot. That you think a traditional acrylic painting or a watercolor where you can do brush strokes. And I'm like, no, it's like dot painting. It's one by one counting. And yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. And that's why we leave it to the professionals because they do such a better job. Their consistency is good. They don't I get stuff all over the back when I paint, so
What is that like working with a painting service? Are they pretty automatic that you can just send them a design and say, this is what I want painted, or do you have to collaborate a little bit up front till you get what you're after?
no, good question. I think it depends on the design, right? So we highly recommend Mac Stitch, which is like a digital platform where you can grid everything out. So you have like a digital master is kind of what we call it,
Okay.
versus like a painted master is a canvas already painted. They can work off of both, but we mainly do digital masters, and everybody matches to DMC colors. That's like the universal language of
Right.
color.
Yeah.
So to all my budding designers or existing designers, you get yourself a DMC color book, like the real color book, not the printed one, like the one with actual fibers. Anyway, so as long as if you send off a yellow tennis ball and it is the yellow DMC, they will match it to paint. The back and forth is when you're like, oh, can we go a little darker on that yellow? Or can we go a little lighter on that yellow? But if your DMC is right on, then there's really no back and forth. So you'll send the digital canvas out to be painted. You get a picture photo proof, just to make sure, yeah, colors are where you want them to be. And yeah, there's not a ton of back and forth as much as you'd think.
So you don't have to paint a canvas first to send to them. Wow.
Nope. And they create one master. Right. And then they'll work off that for future orders. They keep it on file where they are. So I've done both, but most of my designers do digital masters. Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yep.
Yeah. And they're fast. I mean, they can turn them around pretty good for you.
Well, needlepoint, nothing's quite fast, but
Right.
yes, we usually can do at least like 5 to 6 weeks. So it
Oh.
depends on the volume. It depends how many are you getting, six? Are you getting 30? It depends on the volume.
Well, that's not bad though, considering what has to be done. That's pretty good.
Nope. So by Halloween, you need to have Christmas ready to, or maybe
Right.
back to school, you need to have Christmas ready to go so that you have that runway. And it depends if we do markets. We do two markets a year here in Needlepoint. So we do like October and March. So we just got everything in for March market. So it's delivered in February.
Okay, so then you're putting inventory in place before the market then, so you can
Yep.
ship immediately. Okay.
Yep. And market, we bring it. We bring it
Oh.
to market in person. Yeah. So stores really, this is, so these are wholesale only. Stores really like that cash and carry. They like taking the product with them. They'll do orders, but mainly it's leaning towards cash and carry, which is a ton of stress for the designers,
Yeah.
right? Because we have to buy all this inventory up front, take gander and a guess on what we think is going to sell, which if anyone has figured out that formula, please let me know. And then bring it all, schlep it all to wherever city we're going, for that market. So
And hope you don't bring any of it home. Yeah.
exactly. I'm like, please take it, fly it, please. Yeah.
So when it comes to designing your own things, do you have a graphics background, an artist background, or you just have it in your
No.
genes?
So my family owned a brick and mortar office supply and art supply business for like
Okay.
7 years. And so I grew up around paints. I worked there in high school and college. So I know the difference between watercolors, Winsor & Newton. Like I know all that language, but I was not kissed with the artistic letter. Like my aunt was, like my cousins have that. I'm not like that. I like a watercolor, but I don't think I fully got the artistic gene. I'm definitely a DIYer. Like I taught myself calligraphy and I used to do invitations for people. I was a scrapbooker, but I would not say I'm your traditional like paint medium artist. So a lot of what I do, I mean, it works for me on a grid though. My brain, when I design needlepoint, it makes sense because it's a grid. But I kind of have to go in knowing what I want to do, if that
Okay.
makes sense. So I might sketch it out first, and then I'll chart it out. And then sometimes I paint first. It just depends on what it is. So sometimes I'll like paint it out first rough and then tighten it up to be needlepoint.
I'm seeing the accountant mind. Yeah.
So it's funny, a lot of needlepointers I've met are also CPAs. I think our minds really like needlepoint. I don't know what it is. But not chart. I don't like to chart cross stitch. That's not my thing. I like when it's paint by numbers, it's on the canvas, or stitch by numbers, it's on the canvas.
Yeah, and I think you've hit something there because I've been wondering what is the draw to needlepoint versus cross stitch? And I think you've hit it, not having to look down at that chart. You have it in your hand, you have your colors, your crayons, if you want to go that way, but you have what you and your colors are on here on your canvas, so all you're doing is color paint by number, basically. But it's texture, it's you've got the texture of fibers and all of that.
Yeah, and there's guesswork in the fact that you can use different fibers, which is fun, or different stitches, but you know what it's going to look like in general, right? Because you can see it. So I just like that. I like the mindlessness of it too. That's the part that I don't have to like worry about. There's a cost disadvantage there, but I like seeing it, and I know what it is, and I know what it's going to be.
When you design, do you see the stitches and the threads, or does that come after you do the design?
It depends. I've
Okay.
gotten better about the fibers and stuff. I think now I've become, and I tell my designers this, I'm more of the business side, right? So if I see a design come in or I'm designing, I'm like, okay, well, if there's 12 colors here, then that means that we need to make sure, like if someone's kidding this, that's more money, or another color adds more cost to painting. So I definitely have take more of a business approach to it now. Or oh, this is going to be really good in a fuzzy, this is a Santa beard, so we want to do this in a fuzzy thread. I want to make sure that we border it with something very light, something like that. So I definitely think about the end user and how it would be stitched. But not always. It depends. People are so creative. I mean, when I see stuff posted on Instagram of mine, I'm like, gosh, that looks so cool. Like they did such a cool job with that. Like better than I ever could have stitched it.
Yeah, that's got to be one of the really cool things as a designer to see what people do with what you put out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, sometimes people take the simplest of things. You go, why would you even buy that canvas? And then you see what they do with it, and it's like, wow, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. I'm like, that's even, it's, they make it come to life. They really do. So I try not to overthink that when designing because I'm not a fiber expert. So I try to keep it as what makes the most sense, try to make sure the design is, appropriately stitch painted, take away any of that questioning. I've gotten feedback from a lot of, you get lots of feedback, unsolicited or solicited. I'll leave that there. But borders, people love a border. So if you give them a Santa, they want an oval around it or a circle around it or a square. They want kind of a border. So then they, I'm like, but it's just going to be white. Like, I'm just going to draw maybe a micron or a black circle around it. They're like, that's fine. I need to know when to stop. And I'm like, okay. So I'll start doing that for people. And that at least gives them some sort of, I guess, boundary.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Interesting.
Or they extend it. I've seen both. Or they go and they extend and they add a whole background to the canvas. So.
That's interesting. I think I could define a border. I don't think I need you to draw me an oval, but
You could draw your own circle. Oh,
right.
absolutely.
Yeah.
They want
Yeah.
circles or they
Yeah.
want squares or
Whatever works. Yeah.
whatever. I think a lot of it is the self-finishing options have become more popular. So your acrylics, your leather stuff. So people want it to be, can you give me a 4-inch circle? Because I know this will fit in
Oh,
this
yeah.
thing. And they don't want to have to like stress about that, but
Yeah. Well, that makes some sense. Yeah. Yeah.
so
Yeah,
I
they
don't
just
know.
want to stitch. They just want to stitch. They don't want to mess with math.
They just want
The math part. The math part. I think
to
that might be it. Making sure it's perfectly in the center.
Yep.
Because they can see that it's wrong, but they couldn't figure out how to make that circle fit. That could be it.
Yep.
Interesting. Now we were talking before we recorded that needlepoint, it fascinates me how a painted canvas, because there's that initial upfront cost that can be significant. But it really, and we know the pandemic played a role in needlework all the way around, but painted canvas world has really a head of steam that has stayed in place. And you're obviously you're active, you're not bored, but and young people doing a lot of painted canvas. Are you what are you seeing, and is there any way to determine what's driving all this?
I don't know. I do think it's this resurgence, this visibility that the industry got from COVID. But I also think needlepoint is not, whenever I say, oh, I sell needlepoint, like to my dad's friends or whoever, whatever generation, they know exactly what needlepoint is. They might, you might confuse cross stitch and knitting sometimes is in there, but like they know what it is. It's been around for years, whether grandma did it, whether the aunt did it. And I think in a generation where we're just constantly on our phones, constantly on our computers, and this consumerism of just mass-produced things, I think it's kind of come back in a way. It's kind of come full circle, and people want to make something with like with their own hands, get off their devices, and I think it is. I think it's like a therapy in a way. For people. And it's not this foreign concept, right? They can you can needlepoint's everywhere. So
Yeah.
it's and it's easy to learn for the most part. And I mean new shops are popping up every year we have new shops opening, which is so incredible. And so I think that just makes it more accessible, more online options. People can buy things online. And as a seller, I love needlepoint. It doesn't break, it's light. It's easy to ship. It
Yep.
is like I mean it's accessible in that way,
Yeah.
right? And I find people are starting to not collect is the wrong word, but I mean they are. They see some they're starting to collect almost like clothing.
Oh,
And so
people collect. Oh, people collect a lot.
having a stash of needlepoint myself I'm guilty. I'm never going to stitch everything that I have. Maybe, hopefully. Maybe we're stockpiling for the next possible, pandemic. But whatever our excuse is, I think it just brings people joy and people are leaning into it and it's kind of contagious. So.
Yeah, we've all seen more than one picture where people have a closet with pan hangers with canvases hanging off of it. Yeah. Ooh.
I won't show. I sell canvas, so I definitely don't have. Oh, I have so much canvas. I have so much canvas. And the problem is, I barely stitch my own stuff. I stitch everyone else's because it's way more exciting to me. So.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like the new designs too are, I mean, there's a lot more fun. It's they're kind of got wit to them, I guess, is what I see, rather than just, a paisley pattern or something, which is fine. I mean, the paisley patterns are fine, but it's kind of fun to see the youthfulness of it, I guess. There's some that are just, the bright, the cheery. It's just different. It's just a different look some of the canvases have that are, I think, are appealing more to younger people.
More modernized, a lot of pop culture influence. Yeah, small ornaments, it's what I stitch. It's our best sellers. People love an ornament. People love a key fob, I think because they know what they're going to do with it. I don't know. I think it's getting away to from and the bigger pieces where you had to sit in a chair, and those are still out there, don't get me wrong, but now you can take it on the airplane, take it to the kids' drop off. It's just easier to do, and everyone's doing it. I'm always on airplanes. I've sold more canvas on airplanes than anywhere else because they're like, "What are you doing? That's great because you can't do anything else except sit there and, look at your phone."
But virtually everything you sell is on the small side. I mean, you don't have the 14 by 18 pot of flowers. It's all small, relatively simple, lots of color area to stitch in, and obviously that's what sells. And so that's what the younger people are looking at. Are you seeing that? Is that a big part of your market?
I think so. I mean, I think I sold to both, and I have designers that, I mean, most of my designers are younger. Like Kathy Brandt, she's retired. She's been designing for years, but most of her stuff's smaller too. Yeah, it's mainly small. I mean, we have a couple pillows. I think a 12 by 12 is the biggest I have, but it's slow moving and it's expensive. So I think the smaller stuff just keeps it more accessible, and easier to jump to your next project too. So,
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, that instant gratification kind of thing. Yeah. So how does your business evolve from stitching at night after working all day trying to meet orders to representing? Because how many do you represent? What is there, a dozen?
I think we have 16.
16?
Yeah, 16. We have two launching in the new year,
Oh
so we're
boy.
just kind of in the beginning. I know it's wild. I wish I was this popular in high school. I always joke. So I was doing it just me, and I ran across Kathy Brandt. So she does all the Santas. She's in North Chicago, and I had ordered a scuba diving Santa. Found it on eBay. Because I wanted something scuba diving, because my husband and I are both scuba divers, and there's nothing out there. So it came in a cute little package, but it was handwritten, with manual stamps. And so I reached out, I just cold emailed her. And I said, "Hey, this is me. This is what I do. I sell canvas. Here's my website. I'd love to help you mainstream this. Like I have a painting service." Anyway, so we got on the phone, and because she had I went on her Facebook, and she had hundreds of canvas. I mean, she's been designing for 35 years. And she was like, "I have no desire to paint canvases on a volume basis. I have no desire to work with painting services." And she goes, "And I don't really want to fulfill. I have a lot of grandkids. She's got a ton of hobbies." So this kind of beautiful partnership was born. And I was like, I have the website, and websites are so, they're so time consuming and they're so expensive. And then you have to worry about, I'm a CPA, so I get nerdy, taxes. And am I reporting taxes here? And then if I ship to a different state, how does, you know, there's a lot of just questions.
Yeah.
And so I came across another designer and similar concept. She didn't have the capacity to live in New York City, can't hold inventory. Can't hold
Yep.
packaging materials, you know, doesn't have a printer. And I was like, well, I can help. And there's also the side of wholesale, like holding inventory is expensive. You know,
Right.
going to the painters, you have to pay up front to get that painted. But 6 weeks, 8 weeks before you even get the product, there's no terms. And hope they're not the wrong color, you know.
Right.
And so there was a cost point of that that was also a roadblock for new designers. And so I would help in that aspect as well, because I would help produce the inventory. So yeah, that's kind of how it worked. I cold called a lot of people, cold emailed. I slid into DMs on Instagram. So just messaging them like, hey, your stuff's really cute. Here's what I'm offering. I'm at the point now where people are starting coming to me, which is really, really
Yeah.
flattering. So it's been fun.
So basically what you're doing then is opening the door for them to be able to sell their designs because you're taking away all the administrative and business and shipping things that just suck up designer time and take the fun out of their what they really like to do. And so then for them, it's thank you very much.
I hope so. I mean, it's
Yeah.
a win-win, right? Like I'm honored that I get to sell their stuff. But yeah, they own their product, they own their designs 100%. But yeah, I do the bad stuff. I do the taxes, I do the customer service. Stores are really hard to get into if you're a new designer, right? Because stores are just inundated with
Sure.
thousands of vendors, especially now, with new designers. So, and stores like things a certain way, you know, they want to order what they want to order. They don't want to pay a ton of shipping. I mean, they don't always want to pay up front. There's differences than to a
Right.
direct consumer.
Sure.
They love to go to market. You know, not everyone goes to market. From a designer standpoint, it's expensive. You have to go to this hotel, you have to buy all this inventory, you have to fly there. So I give them that exposure to stores and shipping channel or selling channels that they would get there themselves. It would just take a lot of time
Yeah.
and a lot of money. So it fast tracks then. And then I have the painting house as well, so then that helps them kind of elevate their product
Right.
faster.
Right. So basically, you're their agent.
Yeah, I like to say
Yeah.
I'm like a one-stop shop,
Yeah.
and I'm an agent. Yep.
Right.
So I've got a lot of eyes. I mean, I think we sell to pretty much every needlepoint store out there for the most part, I want to say. Might be some smaller ones, but yeah. So they get quickly added to our collection and our catalog. And here at Atlantic Blue, I try to. All my designers, like we're one umbrella of ABC, right? So I don't really segregate. Oh, this is one designer. This is another designer. I kind of put them all together. So you might be hunting for a baby canvas. I shouldn't use, that's not a good example because I don't even have baby canvases. But you might see one designer here, and another designer here. And
Yeah.
it's you're just looking for a canvas. I mean, you might like the overall aesthetic of one designer. But we kind of cross-pollinate each other, right? And we so to serve that end consumer. So they're like, oh, well, I really like both of those baby canvases. Little do they know they're buying from two different designers, at the same
Right.
time, which is really cool.
Right, like your travel. I went and was scrolling through the travel ones, and I'm sure that's you can tell that they're different. They're different designers on them, but they're all travel. So, like, let's say you want something from Austin, Texas, which I used to live there, so that would be. I was really eyeballing that one. So, I was like, this is cool. It was nice to be able to look at those, and we've traveled. We've been to Europe and that. So it's nice to see all of them together, but you can see all the different, way the designers work, their
Yeah, and
different aesthetic.
it's nice because it makes it more approachable to get to all these different designers. And one designer is looks completely different than what I designed. So it's opened, kind of the reach is bigger, right? I feel like there's something for everyone, hopefully. And I feel like it's in clothing, right? Like my grandma and I don't shop at the same places. Like we don't wear the same clothes and we don't stitch the same things. So I try by collecting different like designers and putting it all together. Hopefully there's something for everybody.
Yeah.
So
So the reaching the shops, is that another set of cold calls, or did that kind of
yeah.
evolve itself, but not just
Yep.
hard work?
Yep. Cold calls, emails. I would send fiber, I would send canvases just as packages to shops. And most all shops are like very receptive, very, very kind. Market was the bigger kind of turn, right?
Okay.
That's what put you on the map, is just physically being there. Which is such a cool opportunity because you get to see everyone in person.
Right.
But it's a ton of work and it's expensive. It's a big time commitment. We go in March. I'm a CPA. March is not my month, to be happy and low stress. So I bring a team with me, but I mean it's worth it to go and spend the time. But yeah, market really does give you the face time with the shops.
Okay.
But most, I really, again, you had to put time into getting your website ready to go. But everything on my site is shoppable for shops too. So they can see everything. They can see pricing. They can see how much is in inventory. So I spent a lot of time getting the wholesale shop online so stores could make it really easy for stores. And then I would just send out, hey, check out our website. Check out our website. And grew it
Yeah.
from there.
Yeah. Now you've evolved now where, and we can see behind you Threads, everything. So you basically have your own online needlework shop in addition to selling canvases.
Yeah, I don't sell fiber technically. I'll
Okay.
sell a little bit, like I'll kit with it. But I think that's just essentials. A lot of that's my own stash that's gotten out of control. No, but I do have.
Beth, does your stash look as organized as that? No?
No, it does not. I need some of those little hangers in my craft room there. That's what I need.
I just
That's a
moved here.
mess.
I just moved here and I have a really cool space and the Container Store is coming next week to do some things and I am like nerding out. I know. I'm so excited. I'll try to take some video, but they're doing like my closet, they're doing some shelving. Because I don't have much space. I need to make it work. But to go back to fiber, no, I don't carry all the lines of fiber. I don't have intention to. We have started kitting with some canvases. We did a club for the first time this year. So, do you guys know what a club is?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you how that all functions. I know of them, but yeah, how does that all
You've
function?
never done a club, Gary?
No.
They're dangerous because.
They are.
So we did a club, and there's different variations, but it was six canvases. It was the Rockettes. So we did six versions. And so when you signed up for the club, you knew the canvases looked like. Month one, you would get shipped outfit one with all the threads, all the beads, all the ribbon, everything you need to complete said canvas. And then in the stitch guide. And then month two, you would get the next dress, three, four, five. So it caught it, it resulted in us getting a lot of fiber, a lot of planning, a lot of stressful phone calls with Rainbow Galleries. I love the team on Rainbow Galleries, but they're like, well, this color's out forever. I go, but it's in my kit, it's in my club, it's in my st like, no, it's not. And they were awesome, but it's a ton of work to hold fibers. I don't want to say never say never. I don't see myself holding a ton of fiber. I'll do it now and then. I like essentials a lot. I love DMC. I I think DMC needs a new PR team because I think DMC Floss is the best. It is consistent colors. They have every color. It is cost effective. So I do have that. So if someone wants a kit, I can kit something for them. But besides that, I don't sell a lot of fiber
Yeah,
on purpose.
okay.
Yeah.
DMC needs a new PR team. Boy, there's the understatement of the decade right there. Yeah.
We paint to DMC. Like, it would be so easy to be like, people message me all the time. They're like, hey, can you kit this for me? Or what colors did you use on this? And I was like, and then, oh, they're like, oh, but in Silk and Ivory or in Vineyard Silk. And I'm like, I can give it to you in DMC because that's what I told the painters.
Yeah, yeah.
The conversions aren't, they're hard anyway. So I love DMC floss. I know it's a very hot take. But I think it's easy. But I also love a good pepper pot and, a good silk
Right.
and ivory and the glitter and the glam. So,
Yeah. Well, but they're, I mean, they're the
but
found they're the foundation. They're the foundation of all the stitching techniques.
Yep.
And yeah.
And DMC has a lot of other things. I mean, besides just the floss, they have tons of sizes of pearl. They have cotton embroider, which is kind of
What
a
did Michael
thicker.
just come out with? Have you seen that stuff?
Nope.
Oh, the wool, the tapestry wool. They came out with wool. They came out
No,
with.
it's a cotton. It's a tapestry cotton, but it's for needlepoint. But Michael's has it. It's from DMC. It's an exclusive at Michael's. I love it.
It's yeah, it's a tapestry. Yeah, they and so and then they have a sparkly one too. DMC does. They have the variegated stuff, which I think is fun to play with. And I didn't know. I always thought it was just in floss. They have it in pearls. Like a 12, I think they've got a 12, maybe an 8, in some of the variegated pearls. And I'm like, how
I
come they
know.
don't market this?
I
If you're a
know.
designer, they do. But I'm like, that doesn't help me.
I know. They need a new PR team. We're ready.
They
We're ready
do.
for you. Needlepoint is ready for you.
Well, I mean, I just, yeah, they, I mean, they've got the history and, they are the staple in the market. And sometimes I think they ride on those coattails when they could take it to a new level with just a little bit of effort. And, yeah, well,
We
their issue.
digress. Yeah.
That's their issue. Long as the thread's available, whatever.
Right. When was the first time you went to market? What year?
It was officially this year. Yep.
Oh, okay.
So March of this year.
Yeah.
Wow.
So then this whole with two markets, and then of course all the seasonal things, you basically must have to have some kind of a chart on the screen that keeps you in order in terms of I need Christmas stuff to start now for next year
Oh,
or.
I have spreadsheets. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I'm getting better at it. I don't have a perfect formula like with ordering. If I said someone has it, let me know. I know Christmas sells all year round, so that's less. I think I sold the most Santas ever in January last year.
Well.
Because I think people are getting ready for, because finishing deadlines are now in like
Yeah.
July, so they want to
Yeah.
get it stitched for the holiday. But yeah, like we just sent out our Valentine's Easter emails. And so we're gearing up for those for wholesale. But yeah, from an inventory standpoint, I've gotten a bit more sophisticated. It's a lot of spreadsheets, keeping track of kind of what's at the painters, what's in production, what do I have here. Yeah, I'd like to say I'm good at it. I'm learning. And I have a team like Brooke. She does a lot of my back end stuff and she helps me track that and keeps the painters, in order. But yeah, it's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. Now, inventory and storing inventory is, I mean, for any business, that's an issue. It always is, because that's money that's going nowhere till it gets sold. But is that all at your place there, or do you have to, are you to the point now where you're having to rent some other space to store?
Nope, currently it's all here. I'm trying to keep it all on site as long as I can. Yeah, God bless my husband. I try to keep it all in one area of the house.
How many times have we heard that? God bless my husband. Is the dining room table usable for meals?
No, I don't. And I've worked from home, so I'm a big work doesn't leave. It goes behind a door kind of thing. Like I have a desk and set up. Anybody that works from home that like works from the kitchen counter, I don't know how you do it, but I can shut the door on it. Oh. That's kind of my rule. When it's time to kit a bunch of club canvases that every single month, yes, the kitchen counter gets taken over because I needed like a large flat surface. But otherwise, no, everything is in the studio for the most part.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because my wife and I worked publishing a trade magazine for a long time, worked together and worked from home. And we had to finally sit down early on and say, look, we got to contain this because it will just consume you. And if you don't, like you say, be able to shut the door, it won't leave you alone. So you have to find a way to cut it off. Yeah.
Yeah. Remote work. I mean, not even remote work, just being, I have a computer and being able to work on a computer. I mean, there really is no, like my dad left the office. He was done with work, you know, you didn't bring it home. And now we bring it home, which has its advantages, but it also has its disadvantages. So we have a rule where like no laptops on the couch, you know, if we're watching TV together at night for an hour, no laptop. So I definitely, I'm like, but it's Atlantic Blue and I'm just sending some emails out and, but I do appreciate that. And I do it to him too. It's just, if we're going to be together, like let's be together. If you need to go do your office, go to your office. Cause I'm definitely lean towards workaholic for sure. And so I'm always just doing something. And that's just kind of how I have space, but I do. Yeah. So answer your question. I do try to keep it. I'm looking around as consolidated as I can. And that's why the container store is coming next week.
I was going to say, I have a sense things are spilling over the edges here, but.
I know.
How does the interaction work with your designers? Are you asking them for specific types of designs, or do they just come to you with, I've created these things, wouldn't you like to sell them?
Good question. I try not to put too many boundaries on it because I want the artistic juices to flow. We have like touch points with our group now and then. And we're like, okay, look, we're gearing up for, let's say, March market, like right now. Like Christmas was over in August for us, unfortunately. Or, you know, Halloween, Thanksgiving. But we're gearing up for March market. Think about summer. Think about summer. Think about spring, Mother's Day, Father's Day. That's kind of what they're going to be buying at market. And you need to have these designs in. I don't hold them to like, I need 12 units, 12 SKUs a year, because I don't want to force them. You know, it's kind of what comes naturally. But I do think having some sort of, not guidelines, but like what's in the pipeline will help. But no, they kind of just send me whatever. And we go through that. We do, Brooke, she's the Painted Stitch. She's kind of like my right-hand woman. She does a lot of the designer liaison. So she'll get a design. She will double check, you know, colors make sense. She'll do like an initial scrub, which is great for new designers who haven't used a painting service before, because we kind of take those initial roadblocks that could lead to issues. We fix them up front. Like, this is an 18 mesh canvas, which is the, you know, smaller holes, and it's a 12 by 12. No one is going to stitch a 12 by 12, 18 mesh canvas. You know, we need to either make this 13 mesh or, you know, things like that to make it more user friendly in our experience. We're not always right, but we'll ask the questions to hopefully, you know, enhance your product and your sales at the end of it. People send all, you can see our website. We have all sorts of stuff and it's not always perfectly timed. I mean, we'll try to time it if it's a seasonal thing, but no, whenever creativity sparks, I'm like, send it over. So we have a fun group chat. So we like to just kind of bounce ideas off each other and inspire each other.
Do you Have you had designs come in and you just go, no, not that one?
I have. I sometimes don't get it. So usually if my younger designers, I'm like, I don't get it, you know, or if it's a pop culture reference or something, I've said, look, it's too niche. Or, you know, we can try a couple, but there's a cost to painting, right? And Atlantic Blue takes on that cost.
Yeah.
So we're not going to kind of produce anything that we potentially might sit on. However, I've been wrong before. I'm like, this isn't going to sell. I don't get it. No one's going to want, I don't see this moving. Flies out the door. Yeah. So I try to limit that. You know, if we get into anything, we talked about this offline, you know, a copyright issue or something like that. I kind of trust my gut on those and what ultimately, you know, gets produced and on the website. But other than that, I mean, they have such great ideas, things I wouldn't even think of doing or stitching. And yeah, every year I'm like, we're going to run out of stuff to design. We're going to run out of ideas. What are we going to do for next year? And we always come up with more stuff, and that's exciting.
Yeah. How many musicians had their hit song was the one song they never thought anybody would listen to. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Happens a lot. Yeah. Yep.
So I try not to like get too much veto if I can. I'm like, hey, let's see if it sticks. We'll do, you know, we can do a small run and see how it goes, and vice versa, right? I'm like, oh my God, this is going to fly out the door, and it sits. Yeah. So it just depends.
So the Taylor Swift eras, outfits, canvases, are they moving at all?
Oh no. Yeah. Can't going to be sitting on them. You want one for Christmas? Yeah. They flew out the door. It's insane. And we weren't going to do Taylor Swift. We're like, the concert's ending, and Brooke's like, are you going to kill me? And I'm like, I mean, it's now or never. Let's do it. And so she crushed it. She's so talented with, you know, capturing it. And Jessica did the stitch guide, which I think just made them come to life. So they flew out the door. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet. And I bet they'll continue to, because I think she's such a phenom right now that, you know, it just is. It's going to be one of those things that people, even I think grandmas would stitch for granddaughters. You know, that I could see that happening. You know, someone stitching it for somebody else even. You know.
Well, and that concert's over, but it's not over. You know, there's a triple disc album coming out that will sell nuts.
The video.
So, yeah.
I'm waiting for the documentary better come. Yeah, because right. I just, insane, that last, the production she put on, insane.
Yeah. She's not near done with that. No.
No.
There's a few mil more to make off of that, off of that whole thing. Yeah. And she's going to make it. She's smart enough. Yep.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I had my nephew, his wife was a Taylor Swift fan. And so he's a dentist, and he needed something to do in the evenings. He was real stressed. He was taking his finals or something. So he put those little sparkly glue dots all over a pair of boots for his wife, so she could wear them to a Taylor Swift concert. I was like, okay. So I can tell you, you know, those are going to continue to sell. Those are just too hot.
Yeah.
So we try to lean into the pop culture and what's kind of trending. I do test the waters. Which one person might not get. I got that at Market a lot. You know, shop owners don't always understand some of the pop culture stuff. And I'm like, I promise it will sell. It's like one of my best sellers. Like, you might not get it, but your customer will get it. So I do see the pop culture stuff does tend to do better online versus like a brick and mortar shop. Because I think shops are hesitant to carry stuff that they don't.
Yeah.
They don't get the saying, they don't get the reference, that kind of thing.
Right. Do you have to be careful with that pop culture though, because so much of it can come and go in a flash that you don't want to get caught? Do you have to watch that?
Yeah. And we're like a balance. Like right now our stance is like, even with the Taylor Swift, like that was it. That was our run. We're not going to be holding inventory on those is our plan. I guess, I mean, we can always produce more, right? Like we have the master, but our it's not that's not evergreen. And I get a lot of things aren't evergreen. So we just keep that in mind when we're ordering. We probably won't order what our normal sell-through rate is. So yeah. That's
Yeah.
kind of yeah, we do keep that into consideration. Like, can I sell this? Like it's like holiday, right? Can I will I not sell this until next year? Maybe. It's almost like it's like I got a date on it.
Right,
So,
right. Yeah.
but I always say needlepoint, again, it's the best product, right? Doesn't expire. It doesn't go bad.
Right.
You really can't, unless you get it wet or catch it on fire. I mean, it doesn't, and you can freshen it up, I feel like. Some stuff will sit. Like those travel books that I have, the awesome one you were talking about. I had those for like a year, sold maybe three of them, and then all of a sudden, they're can't keep them in stock. So it's just kind of funny what goes in and out, but
Yeah.
pop culture is more touchy. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah. Yep. All right, Caroline. Atlantic Blue Canvas. What a fascinating business you've put together there. And yeah, you talk about a range of designs. That's fantastic. Yeah. Good for
Yes.
you. Yep.
Thanks,
Yes.
guys. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate the invite.
Yep. Well, we appreciate you doing that, and thanks everyone for listening.